Good to see you this morning. We welcome you and welcome those who are visiting. We appreciate very much that you're among us. Look forward to other such opportunities that we can be together and be happy to address any questions that you might have over what is done or taught today, that we might do God's will in all things. That's our goal and our aim. And as we have read, and John has led us in a reading of the passage this morning, we'll get to that momentarily, where the love of the truth becomes central to whether or not we are, whether or not we perish, or whether or not we live unto eternal life. And so, before we do get into our study, I also want to encourage you that if you're not a Christian, to listen to God's Word very closely and carefully today, because you see, by not being a Christian, you're not yet living in the truth. And unless we abide in the truth, then we are not truly the disciples of Jesus. We're not saved if we don't walk in the truth. And so we encourage you to make that change, make that difference in your life, so that by walking in truth, you have the blessings of truth, of salvation now from your past sins, and the hope of eternal life, a hope that is sure and sound, that's secure in Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, though, and you know you have not been living according to the truth, it's time to repent. It's time to change our heart toward that, to come back to truth, come back to Jesus. And by doing that, live in His blessings now and eternally. The love of the truth, Paul spoke of in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. Is there any more abused word in our language than love? I'm not sure, but if it is, it might be the word truth. And yet, in that same verse, he says, he talks about love and he talks about truth. We need to know what love is. We need to know what truth is. Now, and we need to know whether we're loving truth or not. Now, that's a full plate right there. We're going to try to boil some of that down to some fundamentals this morning. Hopefully are not new, but whether they're fundamental or not to you, new or not to you, they are key to every one of us actually having the love of truth that God expects us to have. Love is an active goodwill. Love is more than a feeling. The love that the Bible uses here was not the warm affection of phileo. It is the active goodwill of agape. And that there were those who did not have an active goodwill in their life toward truth. We don't want to be among that number. Instead, we want to have the right kind of activity that honors truth and receives the blessings of truth that are expressed in God's Word. In fact, just as a place to begin, consider that Job, in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, had an admirable love for truth when he says, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Not only does that verse indicate that there was revelation during his age, the patriarchal age, as there were commandments given from God, but that he said, "I have not departed from them. I have treasured God's Word." Now, we are building our study this morning upon understanding that God's Word is truth. John 17, 17. So if you are not persuaded that God's Word is truth, then we need to have another study, a private study, on understanding what truth is and identifying truth. It's not going to be a lesson to identify truth, but to love the truth that God has given us. God's Word is truth. And Job said, "I've treasured the words from your mouth more than necessary food." There's an indication that we need to know that truth comes from the mouth of God. The Bible is not just ideas that God put into the mind of men and then men wrote them down, their own ideas down. Truth
is the communication of God's Word. God's Word. God's message to mankind. And it is to be treasured by us like Job more than necessary food. Look at the value of truth of God's Word in Psalm 19 in verse 10. Psalm the 19th chapter, 10th verse says, more to be desired are they than gold. That is God's judgments, God's truth, God's Word. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I wonder how many people would pay $2 to have God's Word. You know, there's a big lottery going on, I suppose, in this world, in this country. People buying tickets, $2 a pop. If you have any doubt, that's gambling. I heard a fellow on TV yesterday, just a worldly fellow, just a financial guy. He said, it's gambling. Well, of course it is. $2, $200, $2,000, $2 million. It's gambling. People throw down $2 on a chance that's less than them getting drafted by the National Basketball Association. Those are the odds. But we have truth before us that we ought to value, that of a value that's immeasurable, more to be desired than much fine gold. In fact, Solomon, who had a lot of fine gold, he knew what he's talking about when he talked about gold. He said, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, how do you buy truth? Well, he's talking about acquiring truth. It's free for the taking. We got to seize it. We've got to acquire it. We got to love it. And if we don't love truth more than we love a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a country or possessions or my own life, then I don't yet love truth the way I should. I don't yet love Jesus the way I should, because it was Jesus who, in words of truth, said, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. In fact, he said, if we don't love our own life less than we love Him, we're not worthy of Him. So, just how valuable is truth to us? This is a lesson that we need to drill down into our own hearts this morning, in our own attitudes. We need to look at ourselves very closely and carefully to understand that truth, with its wisdom, with its instruction, with its understanding, is something that comes from above. It does not come from within us. Remember, Jesus is truth. He says, I am the truth. It amazes me. It really does. It amazes me that people try to separate Jesus from His Word of truth. And they're willing to live by or accept conduct that is against the truth of the Word of God, and yet claim Jesus' blessings. How can we do that? Well, unfortunately, we can do that because we become deceived. And we'll read that in 2 Thessalonians 2 in just a moment. Truth is from above. The commands of God, His mouth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Truth comes from God. We cannot love Jesus if we do not love truth. It's an impossibility, because He is the truth. It's impossible. Now, do you believe that or not? Do I believe that? Because if I believe that, that will shape my thinking and my conduct. If I don't believe that, if I believe I can some way love Jesus and set aside this book that's inspired by God, then I don't love truth, and I'm going to be deceived. John, first chapter, verse 14, John said, the Word became flesh. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They are not in contradiction, but in perfect harmony. Jesus is full of grace and truth. We want to pour out grace and forget about truth. We want to say, God's so gracious, He won't do what He says He'll do. That's a deception. That's a lie. God will do exactly what He says because He's a gracious God and He's a truthful God. Amen. Do I believe it? Do I love that? Or do I kick back? Do I push back on that in my life? That's the choice before us. That's the decision of faith we have to make in our lives every single day. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22. In closing his epistle to the Corinthians, the apostle wrote, "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed." How do you love Jesus? Jesus tells us. We don't have to guess how to love Jesus. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Why? Because his commandments are truth. His commandments are the very words of God. And so if anyone does not love Jesus, can we say if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C? I get confused about that mathematical equation. But you see, if I love Jesus, I'll keep His Word. If I don't love Jesus, I don't keep His Word. And if I don't love Jesus, I'm going to be accursed. Now, do I love Jesus? Am I keeping His Word? It's not difficult to understand. Now, Solomon said, acquire that truth. Buy it up. Desire it more than your necessary food, Job said. Value it more than piles of gold, David said. Truth. And yet, Paul tells us of a lot of people who do not love the truth. 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to the text this morning. 2 Thessalonians 10 through 12. And it's really the summing up of a larger context where he is teaching the brethren not to be deceived by false doctrine that Jesus was soon to come or about to come. He said, don't be shaken in your faith as if the day of the Lord had already come. Verse 2. So this is a doctrine about the return of Jesus. People tell me sometimes doctrine's not important. That when Jesus comes is not the issue. It's the fact that He's coming. No, to Paul, it was not only that He's coming, but when's He coming? Because you're being taught He'd already come. And so he goes on to say the Lord's going to come, but the man of sin has to come first. And there's a lot of discussion and over that. The context is pretty clear. And you look at the context of the day. You're talking about somebody who exalted himself above God, accepted worship, sat on the throne as if he were God. It aligns very well with the parallel message of the book of Revelation that was about to come to pass, of the Roman Empire, of the kings that demanded worship and persecuted Christians who would not. But be that as it may, fact is, he says the Lord's going to come and that this man of sin is going to come first and there's going to be falling away. Well, there's certainly been falling away, 2 Thessalonians or 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, even though people today tell us that you can't really fall away. The Bible says, yes, you can fall away, and there was a falling away, and there continues to be falling away because people don't love truth. Get it? People don't love the truth. Because if we love the truth, we're going to be obeying the truth. Not arguing about the truth, not laying aside the truth, not contradicting the truth. We're going to love the truth. You see how that becomes very personal now? This whole matter of loving the truth. If I don't love the truth, that will be displayed in my attitudes, in my actions, in the words that I speak. And this text says there's a present dilemma and there's a future outcome. The present dilemma of not loving the truth, according to this passage, is I'm lost. Verse 10. With all unrighteousness, he's talking about the coming of the lawless one, who is that man of sin, man of destruction, of perdition, back there in verse 3. Son of perdition, man of sin, this man, this one who is opposed to truth. He says, when you accept those deceptions, it's unrighteous, it's deception among those who perish. They perish, why? Because they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. People perish when they don't love the truth. People perish because they're not saved. People perish because they're in sin. You know, I was reading today some emails. Somebody was, a brother was asking, you know, what's the best way you approach to answer the question when someone says, well, what about that fellow over there in Africa or over in South America or way over there who's never heard the gospel? That might be your next door neighbor, by the way. Don't have to be halfway around the world. Are they lost? Well, yes, they're lost. Why? Because they never heard the gospel? No, that's not why they're lost. They're lost because of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus gave the Great Commission, go into all the world. Why? Because the world's lost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Why? Because they're lost. Preach the gospel to them. Why? So they can believe it and be baptized. Why? To be saved. If they don't believe, they're condemned. Why are they condemned? Because you preach to them? No, they're condemned because they're lost. That's why the gospel is to be preached to them in the first place. Amen. It's God's power to save them. But do you love the truth? You know, even the person who has not heard the gospel preached has a message screaming to them that God is, and you need to seek after Him. Romans 1, 20 and 21. The invisible things of God are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even His eternal divinity and Godhead or Godhood, His power and His deity, that they may be without excuse. Mankind is without excuse before the Almighty God. He has given evidence of His presence and of His power, of His truth. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens declare. What do they declare? They declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. The heavens, the expanse, tells us a story about the presence and power of God. Then we go to the law of the Lord, verse 7, to learn what He wants us to do in our lives. That'd be the gospel now that saves us and teaches us how to live in Jesus. But if I don't love truth, if I don't have an active goodwill toward, if I don't cling to truth, value truth, hold to truth, know that that is the way above everything else, then I will be deceived. I'll stay lost and I'll be deceived. That's the present dilemma when I don't love the truth. I'm lost, perishing in my unbelief. I am deceived, I am deluded, and I believe the lie. That's what Paul said. 2 Thessalonians 10, 11, 12. He makes the application of the lie that Jesus, the day of the Lord, had already come. Why were they believing that error? Because they didn't love the truth. There was a fundamental problem in attitude toward truth. They wanted to believe something else. And God lets you believe what you want to believe because you're a free moral agent. He's not going to wham you upside the head one day and tell you, do this. Wait for God to reveal it to me. He's already revealed it, my friend.
in His Word. And He calls upon you to learn it, believe it, love it, live it. Or be deceived. Believe the lie, because there's plenty of lies in the world. From there is no God, that we wrote about in the bulletin this morning, to just believe and you'll be saved. To, as long as you're sincere, God will accept you. To on and on and on it goes. Why couldn't we just say, well, these brethren were sincere when they thought the day of the Lord had already come? Paul, you're really being rude to them, Paul, because you're saying they're being deceived. You're saying they're perishing. You're saying they're believing the lie. Well, that's not kind of you, Paul. You see how the devil deludes us? You see how he works to deceive us, to believe a lie? He tempts us to believe what we want to believe rather than love the truth. We've got to love the truth. Oh, that's loving Jesus, remember? That's how we love truth. We love Jesus by believing and obeying His Word. Now, that's Bible. That's not Joe Price. That's not Church of Christ. That's Bible. Look what the present dilemma of the one who does not love the truth faces. They prove unrighteousness. Now that's a scary thought. Verse 12 says they had pleasure in unrighteousness. That word and phrase doesn't merely mean that they enjoyed their own sin. It is that they gave approval to unrighteousness. To think well of that which is unrighteous before God. That's the concept conveyed in that word. And it's one that Paul referred to in Romans 1 in verse 32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, there's the pleasure in sin, but also approve, there's the same word as 2 Thessalonians 2:12. Approve of those who practice them. They take pleasure in those who practice sin. They give their assent, they give their approval to the sin. You see, that's not loving truth. And that's not loving the person who's in sin. We're not loving the sinner when we give some sort of encouragement to them in their sin. When we give approval or think well of the sin. Because you know why? Because love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. But the one who doesn't love truth does. And so, believing the lie, they're deceived, deluded, and lost. They're perishing. Yes, they need the truth. But before you ever accept the truth, buy the truth and not sell the truth, you got to love it. You got to see its value. You got to see that it's more important than everything else in your life. Because you see, that's the same as saying Jesus is more important than everything else. He is the truth. So just how important is Jesus to us? How much do I love Jesus? Or have I been deluded by a false definition of love and a perverted definition of truth? How am I going to change that? Well, I'm going to have to get my nose in the book. I'm going to have to relinquish my pride. I'm going to have to accept that truth is truth. I'm going to have to commit myself to follow truth and not encourage sin. That's the present dilemma. But look at the future. The future demise. It's future condemnation. God judges us punishable when we do not love the truth. There's punishment coming. You see, that's the those who perish, verse 10. That they may all be condemned, verse 12. You mean God condemns? Well, sin condemns. And God judges its condemnation. And he says it's a righteous judgment. Romans 2, verses 4 and 5. See the verse? Here's the truth of the matter. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Have you so hardened your heart that you can't see God's goodness prompts a change of heart so you can escape the judgment of God, verse 3, rather than fall under it? Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Oh yes, there is a righteous condemnation of sin. And when we don't love the truth, then we're among that number. There's just not a third alternative in the Scriptures. Unless you're innocent as a child and free of sin. I'm talking about morally accountable people here. John 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now he uses the word love. Men love darkness. Why do men love darkness? Their deeds were evil. They choose evil. They prefer evil. They prefer what is not truth to what is. And that brings eternal death. The wages of sin is death. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God. Now, someone said, oh, Joe, wait a minute, Joe. That didn't say obey, it said believe. Well, the word actually is a word that implies and discusses disobedience. In Luke 1 and verse 17, and many other similar passages. But in Luke 1:17 it's used. Read how the word's used there. He will also go before you in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Same word as John 3:36. If we don't obey. You see, because obedience comes from belief. If I believe Him, I'm going to obey Him. Why do we separate belief and obedience? Because we're deluded, deceived into thinking that when we obey God, we're earning something that we can't earn, and nothing could be farther from the truth. When we obey Jesus, we don't earn a single thing. But if I don't obey Jesus, I don't love Jesus. There's a harmony there, but people are deluded and unwilling to accept the harmony. The harmony is when I believe, I obey. Amen. And when I don't obey, I don't truly believe. I'm in weakness. I'm in sin. At that, disobedience is not evidence of faith. Future demise. Why? A fundamental lack of love for truth. Do I want truth? Do I love truth more than everything else? Now, let's talk a minute about those who love the truth. So then we can know, do I love the truth? So I can make the application to myself. And I can improve myself. And I can increase my love for truth. The Bible says that in loving truth, those who love truth meditate upon the truth. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. It is my meditation. It is on my mind, on my heart. It is what I'm thinking about, and it is what I am using to make the decisions of attitude and words and conduct every day. Psalm 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So he doesn't walk along with ungodly counsel. He doesn't stand and stay in the path of sinners. He doesn't find a comfortable seat with those who are scornful of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night.
He thinks on God's law. He meditates on God's truth. He lays up God's word in his heart that he may not sin against God. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word I've laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. I believe that's verse 11. 7 or 11. Check that out. So am I meditating on truth? Do I have the Word of God before me in my day? Now, thinking about the Word means I've got to be sure I'm thinking about what the Word actually says. You know what some people end up doing? They end up meditating more on what people say about the Word than they do about the Word itself. And so they meditate upon this author, that author, or some other author, and we can certainly learn from authors, and I write a lot, so I want it. But what I always try to do is turn people to the Word, because that's where our meditations need to be. Right? So that means I have to study the Word. I have to learn it. Can't really meditate on something I don't know. I mean, I can deceive myself. I can be deluded by lies, as our text says. And I can meditate on a lot of things and think I'm meditating on the Word of God. Like we studied in class this morning, Israel thought they were worshiping Jehovah God when they built calves, when they made God like man and animals. They weren't. They didn't love God. So we're going to meditate on truth. Let's be sure we actually have the Word of God in front of us, that we're actually reading it, learning it, then meditating upon that throughout our day. Well, those who love the truth obey the truth. We already saw that from what Jesus said. He that loves me will keep my commandments. If you love me, you keep my commandments. John 14 and verse 15. But in Hebrews 5:9, it's, you know, God's Word explains itself so clearly. And that's why we want to learn it and meditate upon it, because now we're able to put that into our hearts and live it in our lives. The Word of God says in Hebrews 5:9 about Jesus having been perfected. He became the complete sacrifice for the sins of the world, having been perfected because He was obedient and suffered and died on the cross. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. He's the source of salvation, the author, the cause of salvation to all who obey Him. So, we're to obey the truth to be saved. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Why would we say obeying the truth is a bad thing? Why would we say obeying truth is wrong? That's a wrong emphasis, that's a wrong concept, that's somehow against the plan of God. Why would we say that? Because we've been deluded, because there's a lack of fundamental love for truth that we need to come back to. Remember, it's because I don't love truth that I'm deluded by unrighteous delusion, deception, and I perish. That's what Paul said. That's what God's Word says. So now it's by obeying the truth that I'm purified. So have you been purified? Or do you resist obeying the Word of God? The Bible says, those who love the truth are sanctified by it. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth. Ephesians 5 and verse 26 talks about the cleansing, the sanctification, the purification, the holiness of God's church, of Christ's church. It says that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. How by the Word does He sanctify the church? Only because there are people who believe it and obey it. And He adds them to His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Those who love the truth are made holy in truth. You shall be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord God. How do I know the holiness to live except that God has revealed that in His Word? Of course, that's how we are sanctified. That's why His Word is truth. And Jesus wants us to be made holy by it and in it. 1 John 2 and verse 14. Those who love the truth abide in truth, and the truth abides in them. 1 John 2 and 14 says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you're strong and the Word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. The Word of God abides in you. And then Jesus said, if you abide in My Word, then you're truly My disciples. So, we have to abide in His Word, to live in His Word, and live by His Word, then the Word abides in us. Those who love the truth will do both. We'll abide in truth, and by abiding in truth, they have the truth abiding in them. And what happens? You overcome the wicked one. You prevail over the devil. You want to prevail over the devil? Abide in the Word of God. Let His Word abide in you. How do you do that? Well, by doing that, you're sanctified. You accomplish that by obeying it. You do that because you are willing to meditate on it, believe it, trust it, put it on your heart. Can't we see that progression? Can we see how that works? Sure we can. Sure we can. And then we speak it in love. Oh, this is where we have a challenge sometimes. You know, because to some, Paul wasn't speaking in love when he told those people, you're deceived, you're deluded, you don't love the truth. But of course, Paul was loving them. He was speaking the truth in love because, you see, love is not about making somebody always feel good about themselves. You think that Peter and the apostles on the day of Pentecost, their objective was to make the murderers of Jesus feel good about themselves? No, their goal was to convict them of sin. I have to be convicted of my sin by truth so that I will repent, obey it, and be sanctified in it. So that I will abide in it and it in me. So that I will then speak it in love, to help others be in Christ Jesus. Brethren, if we don't speak the truth the way Jesus and His apostles spoke truth, and there's a wide range of that. There's a wide range of that. Sometimes it's spoken with a rebuke. Sometimes it's spoken with an embrace. Truth dictates for us, and the situation in which we're using that truth dictates its use. But we don't compromise the truth. We don't change the truth in any of those environments. If someone's lost, they need to know they're lost and how to be saved. If someone's struggling, then help them in their struggle with truth. Don't take it as a club and bash their brains in and say, oh, I just told the truth. Well, what good was that? Speak the truth in love. There's a time to lay it open. There's a time, like Paul did, to say, you don't love truth. But you say in a way to bring people to that love. Help them be convicted of their sin. You know, say, well, Joe, you just haven't shown much love today. Well, I've tried. I'm trying to show the passion of a love for truth to warn any and all who are not in truth to come back to truth and to not feel comfortable in error and in sin. I think that's the love we need to be having anyway, trying to accomplish. Look, Peter's people, God's people, know and abide in truth. Jesus said, if you abide in My Word, then you're truly My disciples, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You see, that's the tension between the world and God's people. The world with Pilate says, what is truth? The world with Pilate says, well, that's truth to you. It's not my truth, but it's your truth, and I'm going to love you in it. The Bible says, you've perverted truth. That's not truth. That's error. That's a delusion. That condemns your soul. Let me tell you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God's people serve God in truth. We don't serve Him in error. Israel was said, told, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." We're going to serve the Lord. Fear Him, serve Him in sincerity. There's our heart. And in truth, there's our conduct. Of course, truth defines our sincerity as well. It defines our heart. And our obedience to it is the expression of a heart that is given to God. No contradiction. In 1 Samuel 12 and 14, Samuel, as he's preparing to die, he said, 1 Samuel 12, his last speech to Israel, he said, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He's done for you." Brethren, when we consider what great things God has done for us, it compels us to serve Him in truth with all of our heart. That's what people do who know and abide in truth. That's what we do when we love truth. We worship God in spirit and truth. John 4:24. We don't devise our own worship and say, "Well, God will accept it because my heart is good. He'll accept whatever is worship, whatever I say is worship." No, Jesus said, "God's seeking true worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." There is a pattern for us to follow for true worship. It's in the Scriptures. It's in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got to follow Him with the heart that honors Him in truth. We've got to rejoice in the truth, not in unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 13:6. People who know and abide in the truth, that's what we do, what we intend to do. And so, go with me as we close back to Thessalonians, to 2 Thessalonians 2 in just a moment. Here's a summary of it. He says, Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not, yea, wisdom, instruction, and understanding." So he says, acquire truth. Don't let go of it. Love the truth. Learn the truth. Live the truth. And do not surrender the truth. John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." 3 John 4:4. "I have a greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Surely God has no greater joy than to hear that and know that His children walk in truth. Can there be any greater pain to a parent, to God our Father in heaven, than when His children do not walk in truth? Does that mean God gives up truth? No. Does that mean we give up truth? No. It means we acquire the truth, we buy the truth, and we do not sell it. We love the truth. Look what Paul wrote in those last two verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13, 14, and 15, three verses. He says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth." Now there are those who don't love the truth. They take pleasure and approve of unrighteousness. They perish because they are deceived in their lack of a love for the truth. "But you, brethren, God chose you to be sanctified by the Spirit and believe the truth." Now, He chose us in Christ Jesus. He calls us in Christ. The choice is set before us because God's willing that all should be saved. He doesn't wish any should perish. God's chosen not that we are saved in delusion, not that we are saved in a lack of love for truth, but that we love the truth, that we're set apart, sanctified by the Spirit because we have belief of the truth. We believe in the truth. He said, that's what you've been called to. Truth leads us to glory, to which He's called you by the gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because truth saves us, it sanctifies us, it leads us to glory. Truth delivers us and protects us from perishing. He said, therefore,
brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught. That is the truth that was handed down from heaven through the apostles of Jesus Christ, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast in the truth of the apostolic teaching, the apostolic doctrine. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Stand fast in it. That's how you love it. You see that? Those who don't love the truth don't believe the truth, and they don't stand fast in the truth. Those who love the truth believe it, stand fast in it. Now, the question becomes, do I love the truth, and will I love the truth? Loving the truth begins by understanding Jesus died for you. That's the truth. He died on the cross as a means to redeem you, save you from your sins. That's the truth. He says, except you believe I'm He, you'll die in your sins. That's the truth. John 8:24. Jesus said, except you confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. That's the truth. We need to confess Him before men. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. That's the truth. Luke 13:5. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that doesn't believe will be condemned. We already read that. He said, if you don't believe that I'm from above, you'll die in your sins. He said, you want to be saved, believe, and be baptized. Mark 16:16. That's the truth. If you haven't obeyed that truth, then we urge you to do that today. Love the truth. Live the truth. Obey the truth. And be blessed by Jesus in truth. Or if you're a Christian and you know you haven't walked in truth, come back to truth. James says, he that restores a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. If you've been straying from Jesus, come back to Him. Come back to truth. Repent. Confess it and He'll save you. We urge you to respond to His call of truth while we stand and sing.